It's time for believers to stand up for what they believe. God's word is forever settled, and it should be settled in our hearts as well. Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton today as they reveal the dangers of compromise next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this broadcast today. We open our hearts and minds for revelation from heaven, instruction, correction, direction, protection. Hallelujah. And we receive it by the blessing of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me again today in welcoming David Barton to this broadcast.
Amen.
I tell you what, we ought to have more time.
Yeah.
Amen.
It goes in a hurry.
It does.
It does.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to watch God's word play out. If you know the word, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because once God speaks a thing, and once God says it, it don't ever change.
That's right.
Now, you can change and get in on the good side of it, but it ain't going. He's not going to change, and what he said isn't going to change. And what is so interesting here from Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, when God came down, when Noah's sons that had been blessed, same words that God said to Adam.
That's right.
Now, two of them, Ham and Japheth, didn't stay with that. The blessing was the power of God to meet every need. All of it. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over it. Fix the earth and replenish it. Supply it with the blessing from heaven.
It's just been taken out by the flood. You got to
redo this thing.
It's just been taken out.
And that's that. So, they had a divine opportunity.
Yeah, they did.
But what they did, they came directly against what God said and began to attempt to meet their own needs without him.
Yeah.
So, he came down and dealt with it. Now, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. They made brick for stone, slime the head for mortar, and they said, let's go build us a city and a tower. Now, what did he do? He came down and confounded their language so they may not understand one another's speech. Now, there's been a mistake about this. The natural explanation of that is, well, all of a sudden, they couldn't understand one another, so one of them suddenly spoke Spanish, and one of them suddenly spoke English, and one of them suddenly spoke whatever else.
Yeah.
That's not what occurred. They were all, because it'd take less than a year to learn those languages.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be right back at it again.
Yeah.
Now, what happened turned into those different languages over time. But what happened at that moment, confusion was the fact that we can't understand. What are you trying to say to me, man?
Yeah.
So what happened here? More than one idea for the same problem.
Yeah.
Ah, now we got confusion.
Yeah.
Now we got unbelief. So God said one word, Babel. Now when he said that, it created a cap. That form of government, I don't care what century it's in, I don't care where it is in the earth, it can only go so high and it'll collapse and fall. Because it ain't never going to take over heaven, and it's never going to take over the whole earth.
Yeah.
It can't.
Yeah.
And it's been trying ever since that day.
Lucifer started
the beginning.
He's
the one that's behind it.
I got my government. I'm going to throw him out of heaven and put my government in his place. It didn't work then. It's not going to now. But it does show up and try to reassert itself throughout the ages.
Yeah, and there's only two kinds of government.
That's right.
And there they are right there.
That's right.
You make a name, or you let God make your name.
That's right.
So, now, that tower only got so big and it collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
The city, not just the tower. They built a tower and
a city. Yep.
Now, the city got so big and it collapsed. I mean, and they all scattered and ran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's where you got started on those languages.
Yeah.
But now you come, watch it over the centuries. Every empire, based on this, would get so big and fall. Mm-hmm. It gets so big and decline. Gets so big and decline. They hit that cap. It can't go any higher than that.
Yeah.
Now, and as you come along in the process of time, you get up to the introduction of the 20th century, or what the Lord said that we were talking about, that 110-year period back from 09. The big push started. It always does, David. Satan starts pushing because he's running out of time, because if he don't press this thing through, it's going to fail.
Yeah.
And then all of the politicians start doing the same thing. We got to get this done. We got to push this through. And they start wars. Yeah. And it always winds up at the same place, right there.
Yeah.
And when they get about here, they start pushing
hard because they want to break through.
Yeah, and they can't.
It's not going to. They can't.
It never has happened. And never going to happen. They can't.
But see, that's the problem with one of the things that was we talked yesterday about the Matthew 13 thing where they sowed the tares.
Mm-hmm.
One of the tares that they sowed was there are no absolutes. History does not repeat itself. You can't learn from history. There's nothing, and that's what evolution does. Evolution says, look, we can't learn from what they did 200 years ago. We're more evolved.
Everything is changing all
the time. All these other governments may have bumped up against, but not us. You know, we can get on through this thing because that was them, and now we're 200 years later, 300 years later. And that's that evolutionary thought kind of thing that makes us different from everything
that
happened.
Where is that thought most prevalent? In the mental institutions.
Yeah.
That I can keep doing this. It ain't never worked, but I can keep doing it.
Insanity.
This time it's going to work.
Right.
No, it won't.
That's right.
You keep doing the same thing. That is an abstract truth.
That's
the truth for all men, for all kind.
And that's
the seed that you sow has got its own judgment in it.
It does it. In the seed.
Duh.
And see, that's why this thing works every time, because the nature of man does not change. And
no, it doesn't.
We may change technology. We're on TV, and we weren't on TV 200 years ago, but the nature doesn't change, and that's why this stuff works every time.
You take the bank robber that was riding a horse, and the bank robber's got him a car.
Yeah.
The man is the same guy. He's got a better gun and a faster horse, but he's the same guy.
Same heart, same problem. That's right.
Bless his heart. And Jesus is the same Savior for both guys.
And that's why truth is absolute. It works all the time. I mean, gravity hasn't changed over time.
No, it's
the same. No. Gravity hasn't evolved. The law of thermodynamics hadn't evolved. It's all the same.
And I'll tell you something else. Confusion is the same. And God, not the author.
It goes back to Babel. That's
there you are, right there.
Now, that confusion.
And David, get into this with me. What we're seeing right now in the United States, like what God said there, we're seeing the attempt to push this nation out of God's hands and push it over into socialism. It's hit the cap.
Yeah.
And the stuff that happened back there that began 110 years ago, that's when we got blessed with the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
That may be the...
We got into this globalistic thinking kind of thing. Instead of having boundaries as God lays them out, we said the whole world...
And what our forefathers warned us about was becoming like Europe.
Yeah.
Well, Europe had already gotten into that.
That's right.
Bless their hearts, they were in it so deep they couldn't get out.
That's right.
And now they're saying, now, boys, I'm telling you, if we do what they did, we're going to get into that.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they prayed until they came up with God's word and God's plan in a way to follow God and avoid that.
Yeah.
And so then now they tried to push it back into that European model, which was Genesis 11.
I've got to really be careful how I say this. If I can say this empirically, statistically, with no concern forever whatsoever being American or not being American, I have to say America's more blessed than any nation in the world. And that's not because I'm arrogant and proud. It's because we're the only nation in the world that's been 234 years under the same piece of paper. There's 192 nations at the UN this year. Every one of them averages a revolution every 30 to 40 years, except America. We've had one 234 years ago. We haven't had another one since. We are 4% of the world's population. We have 25% of the world's wealth. That's unbelievable. 4% of the world's population ought to have 4% of the world's wealth. Did you know that a person living in poverty in America, according to the Census Bureau, if you live in poverty in America, you live higher than the middle class in Europe? And that's poverty in America. And you're higher. we're blessed, but we didn't do that ourselves.
And that's what we need to be careful to understand.
If we think we did it ourselves, we're going to lose this stuff.
Is that Deuteronomy 8?
That's exactly
that's it. That's what it is.
That's exactly it.
When you're blessed,
it comes
the land begins
prosper.
To prosper. You get wealthy.
That's right.
Don't forget it was God that gave you the power.
If you think you did it, that's right, to get wealth.
To get wealth.
And that's what Europe forgot. See, Europe had that same kind of prosperity back in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, and they said, look what we've gathered to ourselves. Look at the fields we've harvested.
And we'll bully anybody we want to bully.
That's right.
Well, the United States started that same pattern when they started getting away with this. They started bullying anybody they wanted to
bully. They said, look what we made ourselves. We made ourselves a name instead of the Lord made us a name. And that comparison is, you don't want to be like Europe, because Europe was a great nation, and it was the world leader in so many areas, and it was prosperous. And now look at where it is with productivity. Look at where it is with unemployment. Look at where it is with the turmoil. You know, Poland's had 7 governments since 1921. You know, Russia's had 4 since 1917. The 20th century was turmoil all throughout Europe because they forgot that God gave them the blessing. Now, see, that's what's going on in America in the 20th century. We're trying to say government gave us the blessing. And if we can just get government to do this stuff, then we'll be blessed. If we get government to take care of us here. We started out this nation with 4 cabinet-level departments. We now have 19. We have the government taking care of our commerce, taking care of our agriculture. We have the government taking care of our environment. We have the government taking care of our education. We have the government taking care of our business. Government is God. We've turned over to government all those things that were... And see, that's what happened across the 20th century. We had president after president. We had law school after law school. We had public education started saying, oh, no, it's the temple of reason. We have a secular temple in America. We've done this for ourselves.
Dude, did you know when, you know, for many years, I was on the board of regent Oral Roberts University. Mm-hmm. And I remember a number of years ago, it shocked me when I found out about it. But that's the reason I became privy to the knowledge, because of our law school. And we were running into, we were butting heads with the legal establishment.
That's right, the ABA.
Because we still had the name of Jesus in our charter.
That's right.
Did you know we were the last university in the United States? Notre Dame had compromised.
Yeah.
And took it out.
Yeah.
And I remember the message that Oral Roberts preached on the fourth man. Talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in that fiery furnace. He said, whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose.
That's right.
If you bow, you burn. Mm-hmm. Referring to them being thrown into that furnace. Mm-hmm. But if you don't bow, you can't burn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's strong.
That's true.
But he just imprinted my spirit and my mind with that. He said it to me numbers of times.
Yeah.
And out of that came in this ministry from 1967 to about 1969, 1970, that was born out of that message and out of what he kept telling me, to preach the uncompromised word of faith. That if God's word says by his stripes you were healed, now that's final authority. I'll not compromise that. I am healed. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what you think. Don't compromise.
That's right.
Because that'll change the fact.
That's right.
Now, you can't confuse fact with truth, and that's what's happening in governmental ideas.
That's right.
The fact was there was some sickness or some disease. You could see it. I could feel it. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, you're not healed. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Well, that was true.
It was true.
I can see it. No, that's not the truth. That's a fact. That's changeable. This is truth.
That's
you can't change
that's
this.
Right.
Now, if I get over and I don't compromise the truth, it'll change that fact.
That's right.
We've done that in the government.
We have. And we've done that in the church. And we've done that in education. And we've done that in all of our institutions.
I think, this is the reason the big health care fight's on now is because the church quit preaching healing, man.
That's right.
I mean, the church started building hospitals and hiring atheists for doctors. I mean, that's where that whole thing, It all comes back to the feet of the church, doesn't it?
We talked to Benjamin Rush yesterday. I want to go back to him for a minute because this shows you how far we've moved away from this. The man who is called the father of American medicine is Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration. I talked about him yesterday and how he really helped me reshape my thinking because he kept sticking the Bible in every stinking thing he did. So here's the father of American medicine. This guy started the first College of Physicians, the AMA kind of thing.
But it wasn't AMA.
It wasn't then. It was the collection of physicians. He has 3,000 medical students who got their medical degree with his signature on the degree. He started the first three medical colleges in America. This guy, and I have his original handwritten papers, really cool. And his original lecture that he gives to freshman law students coming in, all three of these colleges, he was a professor all three at the same time. It's called The Vices and Virtues of Physicians, and that's what he called the lectures. And he goes through, here's what's a vice for a physician, here's what's a virtue for a physician.
Wow.
And in it, first thing he says, okay, gentlemen, he says, you have chosen to enter the medical profession. He says, now, and the medical profession goes through the Bible and shows how it's a biblical profession, Luke was a physician. Mm-hmm. And he says, you've chosen to enter medical profession. He said, you will deal with death more than any other profession. He said, you're going to have to tell people they're going to die. You'll be with them when they do die. You'll have to be with the family after they die. He said, you'll deal with death. He said, therefore, if you're not personally prepared to lead someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as a physician, you got no business being a medical profession. You need to leave the room now. Now, could we say that in a medical school today? Would we say that in medical school today?
They'd fire you.
They'd fire you. By the way, they're doing that. People who are using prayer and counseling with stuff saying, hey, here's what the scripture says. You can be healed of this. Let's pray about this. For a doctor to say that, he is gone.
Now, David, what has become the results of that then? Once the church yielded that up and compromised, now they've lost it.
The
truth of it is now this system that was supposed to be the way to go has created drug-dependent generation. So dependent on the drugs that they'll take anything the government crams down their throat if you'll just pay for my dope.
Except God. Anything except God. And that's what this conflict is. Replace God with a man's approach. And we do that with every arena in the country.
Let's read the scripture that says that. This is in Jeremiah 17. Now, this is plain as you can get. If this is not a definition of the Babylonian system and the blessing system, then I don't know where you would go. Thus saith the Lord. This is in the fifth verse, 17:5. Cursed.
Yeah.
So in other words, this man is living under the curse. Now, if you go over there and look at Deuteronomy 28, it'll tell you that all sickness and disease not even written in that book is under the curse.
Under the curse.
Poverty is under the curse. Dying is under the curse. The whole thing.
It is.
Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord.
Yeah.
This is not some guy that didn't know God in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
This is some man that probably just drifted into religion and drifted away from God, but he got over here on social thinking, away from God thinking. He's not depending on God. The blessing is not part of his life. He's looking to the government to supply what he needs, and he's cursed.
Yep.
Now, come down. He's like the heath. A heath is a little stunted bush that lives out in the desert in perpetual drought. He shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. There's your two systems.
There's the two systems right there.
And the problem is in the fact that both these men knew God and had the same opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like a tree planted by the water and spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the drought comes.
Yeah.
Here's a guy out here, he's over there in this Babylonian system and he's trusting the government and the government's failing, so he's failing and now he can't figure out how to get out of here.
Yeah.
He can't see, God comes out and tries to bless him and he don't want him.
Yeah. That's right.
That's the difference. But you take the guy over here on the Word, they'll get over on the Word of God and make the blessing of the Lord his source and Jesus his Lord and Savior. He gets over here in that system and he don't see when the drought comes. Mm-hmm. Why? He's separated from it. And we're out of time. I told you we need more time.
Goes fast, man. Goes fast.
Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To ensure that these principles would be honored, protected, and endure the test of time, America's founding fathers took the principles of the dignity of human life, the traditional monogamous family, a national work ethic, the right to a God-centered education, common decency, our personal accountability to God, and the Abrahamic covenant from the Holy Bible and wove them into the fabric of the nation. The idea of basing the nation's constitution on a set of principles inspired by the Word of God had never been done before. To believe it would work illustrates their faith in God's unchanging Word. The fact that America still stands is a testimony to God's boundless mercy and unquestionable integrity. The American democracy, which values God-given liberty and strives to protect its citizens from tyranny and the arbitrary exercise of authority, works because of God. Without His guidance, protection, and righteousness, man's efforts would not succeed. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, a principle based in the Bible, became the creed of the nation. The true path that leads to the awakening is the Word of God. Trusting His Word, abiding in His will, and following in His ways lead each individual to the path of unalienable rights that the Founding Fathers presented in the American Constitution. We pray for an awakening to God for all people so that they will see His face, experience His love, and the abundance of His blessing. From the instant He spoke light into existence, God has had a hand in the course of human events. The Roots and Reform Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a study of God's hand in America's earliest hours and spiritual insight into exactly how God can heal any nation. This package is packed with inspiration and instruction. In the teaching series, How Does God Heal the Land?, available on CD or DVD, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton examine the church's role in healing a nation and our responsibility to put godly people in leadership positions. The Roots and Reform Package also includes Celebrate Liberty, a collection of timeless speeches and sermons on the blessings and responsibilities of liberty, Keys to Good Government, an exploration of wise counsel from God-fearing leaders, and Principles of National Reformation, a 60-minute audio message on prayer and national revival. Order the Roots and Reform Package today for just $28. This package, available on CD or DVD, is a vital resource designed to help you develop an action plan based on God's Word to bring healing to our nations. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order the Roots and Reform Package online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other products, go to kcm.org.
Now, all of this doesn't change starting with the government. No. The government could change, but if you don't, I don't care how good the government gets, you go down the drain. Yeah. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
You can change your life and your household today. And if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're going to have to go through that door because that is the door.
That's right.
He said, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man will hear my voice and open, I will come into him." Now listen to this. "And I will sup with him." That's covenant talk for I'll sit down at the table. I will provide the food. I will provide all of the household, and I will be the blessing of the house. And that's what's so important. Pray this prayer with me right now from the 10th chapter of Romans. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray it out loud where you can hear it with your own ears. Oh God in heaven.
Oh God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
You raised Jesus from the dead.
You raised Jesus from the dead.
For me.
For me.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce it.
I renounce it.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
Fill me.
Fill me.
With your precious Holy Spirit.
With your precious Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If you prayed that with us today, now listen, let us know. I want to send you free and postpaid this little book called He Did It All for You. This is to help you get started in your Bible, help you study these things, help you grow in it. You don't need to be struggling with this book.
Right.
We'll help you get started in it, and I'll send you this little study guide to show you how to study your Bible. Now listen, we got a 24-hour prayer line also. If you need to stand with somebody, call and tell somebody, I just got saved. Praise God. We're here for you 24 hours a day. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland online at kcm.org. God has a good plan for you. Have faith in God, awaken your heart to Him, and live in the blessing every day. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. This year, the Southwest Believers Convention is being called Homecoming 2010. August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. Be sure to come to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 11th through 13th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, go to kcm.org. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.